Hello everyone, I'm Angeline and she's Risa, and welcome to season 3, episode 141 of With the Quickness.
Happy Sunday, everyone.
Happy Sunday indeed. Today we're going to share our takeaways from the October 1st, 2023 sermon given at First Baptist Church of Lincoln Gardens, and a past sermon given on September 24th, 2023 at New Hope Baptist Church in East Orange, New Jersey. So Risa, what was your big takeaway from First Baptist today?
People who are not comfortable with change are always stuck in drama.
Okay. My big takeaway is that we need to be cautious about our associations to avoid engaging in any sinful behavior like gossiping, stealing, or lying. Instead, we got to surround ourselves with good people that can uplift and support our spiritual growth. What was your big takeaway from New Hope Baptist Church in East Orange, New Jersey?
Lean on Jesus when you are confronting your problems and trust that he will guide you on your journey.
Okay. My big takeaway was, although Jesus will accompany us, the climb won't be effortless. We will sweat and grow weary, but the climb will serve a greater purpose. So we're going to get into both of those sermons a little later in the show. But right now it's time for the playlist. Risa, what's the song of the week this week?
Okay. So the song of the week this week is by Lecrae featuring Scooty Wop. It's called Add It Up. The song is basically talking about the trials we face and how it can be defeating to watch them stack up, but that our hope is in knowing God ultimately turns it all around for his good.
Oh, I like that message. So, I mean, now this is a rap-based song or more hip hop with a tiny bit of rap in there?
It's more of a rap-based song.
Oh, wow. So how was it making the move from more R&B stuff we've been doing in the past into back into the rap, hip hop rap world? Did it feel like it jarring? Was it easy to follow along with the flows and all of that? And who does this rapper kind of remind you of? Lecrae and Scooty Wop remind you of?
It was definitely easy for me to go into rap because, again, I do like rap as well. This song does sound, it sounds similar to what I would hear like Drake or Migos put out. Mm-hmm. So it is upbeat. It is like, you could probably put it into like one of those like club bangers, because that's how it sounds like. And you wouldn't know that you're listening to like a gospel record.
I think that's one of the beautiful things about the music that you're finding for us is that the youth today and the young people today, they can listen to the kind of music they like to listen to. And all the lyrics be, you know, spiritually, you know, have a spiritual undertone to them or praise the Lord in some kind of way or talk about a struggle in their faith. And it tells their story of their faith in their music, in their genre that they like to express themselves in. I like that. Like, everything can't sound like it comes from the mass choir, the mass Baptist choirs on Sunday morning, right?
Right.
That might work for me in my prayer time, but when you're in your car and you've had a bad day at work and you're turning on your streaming service on the drive home, you don't want to listen to what your mom's listening to. You don't want to listen to what your grandma's listening to, right?
Right. Like, I think it's important to have music that meets people where they are. And because the music that is out right now and that is considered secular, if we just keep the same beat and strings, but then change the lyrics to be more gospel, like, then you'll reach more people.
Yeah. And here's the thing, too. I think because, you know, music can captivate in so many ways and invoke emotion. I've listened to songs by little 8-year-old boys singing, you know, ethereal types of hymns and get moved to tears. And I've heard songs that can make me, you know, get anxious. And I've heard songs that made me feel depressed. Music can control a person's mood. So if you can find a song, or like you said, I'm sorry, find a beat that, you know, you would like to write to as a Christian creative, you know, and you actually put a lot of prayer, thought, fasting behind it with every bit of your lyrics, like, God, let my talent be used for the greater good. Whether you're playing the instruments or singing the song or doing the backgrounds or just being the engineer working on the piece, it makes a difference. Because how come Satan can have all this stuff in his arsenal to win souls, but we can't use a bunch of stuff in our own arsenal? I mean, the Bible is the ultimate weapon right there, but I do believe God said we can use our talents to bring souls to the kingdom too.
Right, that I do believe. I feel like sometimes when something is deemed like, secular, or but yet when something is deemed bad and people don't want to touch it whatsoever, but it's like if you could find what exactly is secular about it and take that out and replace it with like godliness, then it's okay.
Yeah, because I know back in the day, way back in the 50s, they had to like even shoot people from the waist up on TV because they were gyrating, or certain, music that had a certain beat to it. It's like, oh, you can't play that. That's not holy because it has a certain jungle type beat to it. And I was like, but we've come so far from them. Now that whole purity nation thought has moved all the way down to how do we get the souls back? Because if you keep so many things on this side of the track and say you must be this way to be Christian, it looks almost like Stepford Wives. Like we all must be the same in order for it to be holy, and we're not all robots on this side.
Right, because even to your point, like dancing, because obviously dancing, especially for females, like they like more so what has been promoted is like twerking, which is one form of dancing, but there's other forms of dancing that can be promoted for people to do. So it's not like, okay, if you're not comfortable with twerking, you could do an eight count, you could do something else that's not like focused on that one area.
And twerking, before it was called twerking, if you look at any of the primitive, tribes of Africa, they've been doing that for centuries. That move that everybody's talking about is so secular and wrong. They were doing it to bring rain. They were doing it to, to honor, the fact that they had a wonderful harvest and praise God for it, praise their Lord about it. I mean, that movement's been around for, I mean, don't get me wrong. The way the chicks are doing it in the high heels is not the way they do it in, on the Amazon. I'm telling you, there's a difference to
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like
it.
the way that the women were dancing for the Amazon for the rain to finally come down is different from today, because today's a
Because they
little
got
bit,
heels on and
yeah,
poles and
heel,
everything. It's a little different,
So today is like it's more scantily clad, whereas like during that time it was more so about the rain. So
And it was
they
more about the tribe showing, praise and honor and, this is it's different. But I do agree with you that the music could come to the point where it actually helps saints come to. I mean, because the worst thing, I mean, yes, you understand that when you give your life to Christ, there's going to be changes involved. We all know you're shedding off some of the habits you've had in the past, and you're embracing more of a life for the Lord. So there's some things you will not, take part in anymore. But he did not say it's going to make you everything that you find joy in that could be for the good, can't be used for the good. Like if you enjoy good music, he's gonna find a way for you to find it. I think that's why your ministry with the music is so important. You're taking the time to look up music that's gonna help someone that is struggling, making the transition from the secular music they used to listen to something that's a little more edifying on their walk with Christ.
And that's why I say that all to say, like, the beat is like what catches everyone's attention. And more times than not, like, you don't some most of the time people don't they don't catch on to what they're saying until someone like breaks down and says, "Hey, did you know that song had this and this in it?" That's and that's what I'm saying. So it's like if you were able to produce a catchy beat, but then like the artists and the writers that are like working on are able to like make it like God filled, then you can catch a lot of people. But then if you don't do that, and then you're just like, well, we're just going to keep it very traditional, then you're only going to reach a certain number of people, and you're going to miss a whole like area of people that that could have been introduced or brought into. But it's like, oh, but if you're trying to keep it very like traditional and very like very like if you're trying to make it for a area that is like very like small in population, then you're not going to reach everybody.
I think what most church leaders have to remember, and I think this is a vital reason why we decided to put the ear gates and eye gates on at the forefront of this podcast, is that these young people, if you listen to their music, and my thing, anyone that's over the youth, first of all, needs to listen to what they're listening to in order to help them navigate. Because believe it or not, Drake is their philosopher. Chris Brown is their philosopher. Nicki Minaj is their philosopher. Cardi B is their philosopher. What those people are saying to them on a daily basis in their music is infiltrating their brains and getting into their hearts. And if you don't know what their so-called philosopher has been singing to them, How can you reach them? How can you reach them?
Yeah, it's true. Like that's why I make, because my thing is, yes, I love music and I make it a point to watch pretty much all of the different music award shows. Like I don't just watch it just to see who won. I also want to know like what type of songs people like. And there has even come to a point where I was watching one award show, I think it was the VMAs, and I was just like, I don't know hardly, like I know I knew like a good like majority, but some of them I did not know. So when I'm watching the crowd and the way that they interact with these artists, I'm like, oh, okay, so they like this. And you know, and then I'm if I have time, I'll look into, you know, that artist's discography, and like I might find some things about it. But I will say, because you know I am a rededicated Christian, the music that I do listen to that is considered secular, like I don't listen to all of it the way I used to. Like there is some things that I'm like, listen, if the content is too
Too
far,
racy,
yeah,
yep.
if it's too racy, if it's too like if it's too violent, then I gotta like I gotta bring it back, because I'm like that's where we're going too far.
Yeah, and one thing about the people that young people are listening to right now, they not only sing all the lyrics and bopping their head and singing along. They go and they research the person's life and they watch every interview, every interaction, who they're beefing with, their whole philosophy on life, how they dress, their whole fashion. They're almost making this person like a god. Like, oh my gosh, so and so's online. Let me stop what I'm doing and go and see their Facebook live feed and see what they're talking about. Or let me follow them on Instagram. They're hanging on to their every word, gesture, movement in the world. And if you, as a leader of young people in the church, having a minister over a ministry, or maybe you're just, one of the Sunday school teachers, or maybe you're just a parent, you gotta know what they're listening to. So when your young person is all hyped about so and so's got a new album dropping, you should be right there next to them listening to the whole thing with them.
Yeah, and I also think too it's important to remind the youth that are not really able to buy music, but they're able to stream it. Like they have to be mindful of the actual songs that they are repeating, because like words have power. So if you have an artist that's talking about they want like you know that they're gonna die young and all of this stuff, that's a problem. Like you gotta be careful
What did
about like.
Biggie call his album?
That's what I'm saying. Like he had a an album out called
Ready to Die.
yeah, Ready to Die, and then shortly after, like he passed away. So that's why
The
I'm
words are
like,
powerful. You can build life and death in the tongue. Yeah.
right. So that's why it's like I think it's important not only for the youth but also for the adults to be mindful. Because again, there's artists that I like, and I'm not gonna say the person's name, but this one rapper that I like, she just put out a song, and it's super catchy because it does sample Dionne Warwick's "Walk On By," but she sings about the devil, and I'm just like, I can't sing the song. So I
Oh,
I,
wow. Dionne
right,
Warwick might be upset with that song.
yeah. So like when I heard it, I was like, I know Dionne's gonna be upset because she doesn't like stuff like that. So and it is charting, so people, you know, and the crazy thing about it is I know this person's fans were like, oh, we're not gonna support her, we're not gonna support her. And then and
I'm
this like
so curious, but you're not going to say the name. I got to go Google it now.
And this was actually before she put out the music. She put it out, and those same people that said they were not going to support her
Yeah.
obviously supported her because the song was catchy. And then, you know,
Yeah.
it is what it is. So I was just
And I
like,
think that's important to know. It's one of Lucifer was, he was good with music. I'm sorry. He was. Some, he knew that's a good way to win. He took a third of heaven with him. There had to be a soundtrack or a beat behind him when he did that. Something
So
catchy in their ears, something all of them were singing along with, something they were believing. Some of the best chants when you're marching is the chant you say on the street, and you're just echoing back and forth as you're marching and chanting out there. And hey, music's powerful. It can make change. It can make movements. His movement was to take a third of hosts with him, a host of heaven, and not two thirds, just one third. So you better believe down here on this planet, Satan is still using what's in his arsenal.
Yeah,
So
and
that's that.
Like, and I say that all to say, like, you know, and that, and it's not even just with that artist, like, just be careful. Like, if you know you don't worship Diablo, don't be singing songs about him. Don't be using imagery that has him in it, because it's just like, you like, that's gonna be a problem.
Yeah, don't buy Nike shoes with, things on them, that support him. I'm like,
Yeah,
I ain't with that.
don't have albums that have pictures of him. I'm just like, eh.
Cause there's so much that can be given to your soul just and uplift you. If that's what you're looking for. Don't get me wrong. I know there's people that are like, I'm not really sure I'm gonna be totally in the Christian faith. I listen to you guys, but I don't know if I'm really totally ready to give up all my music. I understand you. That's why we said, you can slowly listen to some of the selections Risa has on her playlist, add them to your rotation, see how you like them. You might slowly gravitate more towards the artists that are putting out stuff that is within the genre you like to listen to, but the lyrics are edifying God or edifying your Christian walk. So
Right.
Risa, this has been great. I know it's been a struggle though, finding music here and there because, some things like the ones that are the most popular, they play a lot. And then the ones that are just trying to come through and make a breakthrough, you have to really hunt to see who's trying to come up in the ranks that is, has a great song that needs to be heard. So we really appreciate you doing all the deep digging.
You're very welcome. You know, it is, I try my best to find, like you said, some hopefully up and coming artists, but like I said, I have to do a lot of research.
Yeah, and this week it's a rap song. I know the
Yes.
guys that are listening are like, yeah, she got a little bit of rap in there. So I appreciate that. I like a little rap too, especially the lyrics are good. I mean, my grandson raps, so he's really good at it. I'm always wanting him to rap for the Lord, but he's like, eh. He's like, come on, Grant. I know what's gonna. He's always telling me the reasons why he has to stay loyal to the streets. And I'm like, dude, do you know who made the streets? The Lord made the streets.
Right.
What's going on in the streets right now, he ain't happy about. So he'd
Oh,
rather
yeah.
you sing about a way for people to, come back to him. But, I just keep trying. I just keep trying. Like, would you lose your mind if, like, Cardi B came out with a contemporary gospel type of rap album? Would you be like, about time? Would you be like, oh, wow, she's actually taking a foyer? If she decided to say, I'm going to be featured on a Christian rapper's song because you know what? It is important to show my faith in Christ.
I do think, you know, that would be cool to show, like, okay, again, this whole pick a side conversation that we've been having for a couple of weeks now, like, it'll just show, like, yeah, like, you know, yes, she may rap about things that are very, you know, scandalous, but, you know, she is a believer of Jesus Christ. That's why I'm like, you know, again, not going back to that nameless artist. I'm just saying, because I did like her work prior to this project. If she were to come out with another album that's not demonic, will I probably support her? Yeah, but this one I'm not supporting it, because I'm just like, I can't do it.
So
And
you're not one of those people that believe when you're a secular singer and you decide to be featured on a Christian, you're just doing it on a Christian song. You're just doing it to win some fans to listen to your secular music. You're not of that mind. You feel like they understand that Jesus is important in their life, even though they relegated him to a very small section of their life. They should be applauded for trying to, edify him in that way.
That's how I feel. Like, there are some artists that are very big on their Christian faith, and their music is actually like intertwined with that, like Mariah Carey, Fantasia, Tamar Braxton. Like, it's actually intertwined in music, and there's other artists that are just like, listen, I actually do believe Jesus Christ, but I don't want to put it in my music that much, but I will do like a track or two. So I again, I'm not here to judge people. The only thing I'm trying to do is just, again, provide music that is edifying God and also is positive. But I am gonna also say, like I said before, there are artists that are currently on this whole, like, they wanna do this whole artistic, like, satanic thing. I don't rock with that, but if that same artist were to come out with another album that's not satanic, I'll rock with it. I'm just not doing the whole satanic thing. And there are people online that also feel the same way that I do, because there's a lot of TikTok content that's coming out as of lately, where people are like, oh, like, I'm not gonna sing this song because it talks about, you know, Diablo, or I'm not gonna sing about, or I'm not gonna buy this album because they're pretty much talking about Diablo all throughout. And it's like, I'm saved. I'm not trying to open that gate into, into my life. So it's like, I get it. I
I
get
think
it and I
it's
respect
a very
it.
important, I think it's very important for people, like we've been saying, pick a side
Right.
and to understand your boundaries.
Right.
There's and like I said before, these singers are the modern day philosophers for young
Right.
people. You know, you can stand up and say XYZ about Drake, and everybody that was once surfing on their phone and barely listening to the service is going to look up and say, oh, he said something about Drake. What'd he say? You know what I'm saying? Because
Right.
they follow people that closely. So you need to, if you're going to be in a ministry over young people, meet them where they're at. Know who they're listening to, who they're watching. You know, the majority of them, get their feedback on what they feel about what's going on in culture right now. And then, you know, go accordingly. Go accordingly. And if music is the best gateway into doing that, then hit them in the music. Hit them where their music is. Ask them what their interests are, what artists you like to listen to, and let it be a jumping off point for discussion, even for scriptural stories. You know, you can go into the word and then bounce back out and, you know, talk about what's going on today. But thank you so much, Risa, for, you know, all the work you do with the music. I don't have the patience to go through every week and try to find something brand new that we haven't heard before, someone trying to break through on the charts. So I appreciate you doing the work.
You are welcome. I actually enjoy it. So until next week.
I know, right? I'm really hoping that more churches might use your playlist at their young adult activities because everything on it's good.
Yeah, it's clean.
I love listening to your clean, motivating, you know, uplifting and inspirational playlist. I mean, it sounds like regular music to me, honestly.
Honestly, it does. And I haven't like told you yet, but I'll announce it here, obviously, because it is October and we are about to approach the holiday season. And there are a lot of artists that are about to put out some Christmas content. I am gonna make like a ultimate like a Christmas playlist so everybody can have it. 'Cause you know, we do have like artists like that are traditional. We have like Nat King Cole, but we do have younger artists like my girl Mariah. And we also have Brandy coming out with
Oh, I
her
heard Brandy's coming out with a CD.
with her Christmas music. And there's other artists that either have Christmas music out that I haven't heard or maybe I have heard, but I do want to put it on like one mega playlist because I do feel like that needs to be celebrated. Because again, the whole definition of Christmas is the birth of Christ.
Yeah.
So
What about that girl from Escape, that Scott girl? She's gonna be coming out with a Christmas album, isn't she? She gonna be on a playlist?
I'll have to listen to it first before I add it just to see.
You're
But
like,
I'm just saying like I don't know if everybody's gonna make it. Like I will say I will play any suggestions that come my way. I will play it. And
give it a listen to
yeah,
before you make your list. Okay.
I will give it a listen to. I'm gonna try my best to not have the same song like 8 times on the playlist because again, a lot of people like to do the Christmas standards, which is fine, but it's like I don't want to have the same
Yeah.
song 8 times.
I totally understand that. Thanks so much, Risa.
You're
So let's
welcome.
go on to First Baptist. At First Baptist, it was, you know, it's the first of the month, like we said, right? It's the first of the
Yes.
month. It's October 1st. Praise and worship singers, they were so great today, Risa. Every song was like, yeah, felt like grandma's church a little bit in there. I mean, the spirit was good. Like everybody's on their feet, online too. We were feeling every song was great. What did you think?
I will say, like the songs this week were giving me very much like my aunties and grandma's playlist. So it was definitely bumping for the Lord. So I was here for
Now, Pastor Quick mentioned that on October 7th, there's going to be a scholarship and financial aid event at First Baptist, so please look out for that. He also made two announcements. One is that Claudine Gay, a political science and professor, is now serving as the 30th president of Harvard University. She assumed office this year, and she became the university's first Black president in 368 years after its founding. Wow, what do you think about that, Risa?
I always
Girl
like,
power.
no, absolutely. First and foremost, girl power. But I do sometimes like, I'm happy when I hear, like, oh, the first Black this or the first Black that. But I cannot wait until we get to a point where it's not the first and it's like, and it's more of like a regular thing because the fact that this is the first, Black, was it Black president?
Yep, of Harvard.
Yeah, the first black
First
president
black female president, yep.
of Harvard of excuse me, the first black president in Harvard within what 368 years.
Yeah.
That's the part where I'm just like, yes, we're making progress, but we still have ways to go.
Yes, we do. Pastor Crick also mentioned that Dr. Jonathan L. Walton, the president of the Princeton Theological Seminary, will be preaching next week. I'm so looking forward to hearing, what he says, and to have Pastor Crick turn over the podium to him. That's an honor, because he doesn't do that to very many people, and it's people that we definitely need to hear from, and I'm looking forward to that. And he didn't mention it, but this week, there was Young Adult Bible Study at First Baptist, the last Thursday of every month, and you attended
Yes, I
via
did.
online, Zoom.
Yes,
We
yes.
had some people in person and some people on Zoom.
Yes.
And you had said to me, you're going to report back and we're going to talk about it a little bit. And I think we should, because
Yes.
of hopefully some of the clergy and some of the other young adults that were thinking about, what's going on there can have some insights, and you can give some honest feedback. Nobody's paying you. Nobody is like has tried to sway you to say anything you say, good or bad. These are your
Right.
honest feelings about the Young Adult Bible Study. First of all, as a new believer, a new baptized member of Christ, were you a little anxious or couldn't wait to go to get to this?
I'll be honest, I was a little nervous
Yeah.
because when I'm in settings that are kind of like, like it's similar to like those town halls where it's like, okay, we're going to talk about this topic and everyone can jump in whenever you want to jump in. I'm the person that's like, I like to listen first and then I like to jump in if I feel like I need to say something. But for the most part, for this Bible study, I was pretty much listening. I will say this Bible study, because this week we were talking about love and we're talking about grace, and I do feel like there was a lot of great information that was given, but I also feel like we were just focused primarily like on the scripture, and excuse me, that they were able to incorporate like some things like within like our current I guess I like within like our current culture, I guess you could say. So I feel like the format of the young adult Bible study was similar to the adult Bible study, which like I said is primarily just focused on like the actual scripture at hand. There might be like a little bit like a couple examples, but again, that's more so examples that resonate with that audience, whereas for the young adult Bible study, like the examples or better yet, like the limited examples that we were given, like yeah, like we can relate, but it still needs to be like the actual content needs to be brought home closer to the young adult.
Yeah, I think part of the issue and the problem is everyone has the best of intentions of reaching the youth, but like I said last Sunday, it's different between playing by the playbook and making a new blueprint. And Pastor Quick wants a different blueprint. And the guidebook that we had in the past, the playbook, we went play by play the way everybody else is doing it. It worked to a point, but it doesn't have the innovation that you need for 2023. What I went through as my youth Bible study back in the 80s cannot be the same format we're using in 2023. There's no way to, and still get souls. That's why you have people like Elevation Church and all these other churches down in Texas. They've got a big giant groups of young people because they're doing a different format. Their format is, I'm going to have scripture. We're going to lead with the scripture, but I'm going to be vulnerable enough with you that you can see my humanity. I can't expect you to, as a youth, to come to church leadership and to be vulnerable and to rely on me and connect with me and unless I've given the vulnerability gift first. And that's just how it is. Same thing happens with parents. Your teenagers don't connect with you until they can see the vulnerability in you. Otherwise, it's like, oh, she's always telling me this, she's always telling me that. She's expecting me to be perfect because you've never shown the vulnerable side. The minute you start showing the parts where you're vulnerable, the minute you start showing the parts where you weren't perfect, the parts where you had to grow and the mistakes you've made, that young person goes, oh wow, you're not that bad. I can admit my fault, something I did wrong, because I know what you've done wrong. Because the reason why parents and leaders don't do it is because we don't want to throw them back in our face. Right, Risa? I'm not gonna tell you about the time I almost, let's say, wanted to run over a neighbor. She got on my nerves and she was in the streets, like, oh man, I should push on the gas right now. That didn't really happen. Let's just say I didn't, that didn't really happen. I'm just saying as an example,
Right,
because don't
right.
look at my neighbors. I've never thought about doing that. But let's say that was a thought because you had a bad day, or this person has been a mean neighbor to you for the longest time. And you've been dealing with this mean neighbor and you saw her out in the street talking, and she her back was turning, you're like, man, I should clip her right now. Now, to admit that to the kids in the car, they'll laugh and then they'll be like, wow, you really thought that? I'm not gonna do it. But yeah, I think about when people do me wrong, I think about stuff and I have to tell God, you gotta forgive me, God, for that thought.
Right.
That they'd rather you say that than you mumble under your breath and then don't say how you're really feeling. And they all go, hi, Miss Gloria. And then she turns around and go, hey, kids. And you see her and like, hey. Like everyone in the car would like it better if you just be yourself, right?
Right.
But it's so hard when you're leading people to say, tell me how you're doing. Why don't you guys talk? And why don't you guys give examples? And then when they give examples, their examples are squeaky clean. And you're sitting there, I know you're sitting there a couple of times, they give examples like, okay, that was an example, but it could have been a better one. You know, that was like, you weren't that vulnerable.
Right. Like I know for myself, like I said, I was shy, so I didn't really speak in the Bible study, but you know, I could tell some people did speak, like it might have been like two or three the same people, but most people were just like, you know, listening and you know, giving their two cents when they felt like it. But
You were a little bored. Just a tiny bit, right?
yeah, that's a little bit. Like I don't
You're
like
not gonna hurt anybody's feelings.
it's
Nothing can
not.
get better. Nothing can get better in any organization unless truth is the foundation.
Right. It's like that I do know, but I just want to say that they did a good job with the content. I just wish that we weren't just so pigeonholed on the content of the actual word that we were like reviewing, and we were more so talking about real life things. Like, you know, I
Well,
don't
first of
know.
all, Bible study is going to have the foundation of the Bible.
Right.
Pastor Quick has always been very clear. Bible study, we're going to go in and deep dive into the word, but you have a point. You can't reach the young people until you first connect with them and then bring into the word. So you can do it two ways. You can start off with the scripture and end the word, and then go into things that connect everybody, and they're talking and they're brainstorming about what you've said and they're sharing. Or you can open up with them sharing about the topic, talking about things, and then leading into the scripture. But you can't take out that part of the connection because you guys want everything instantaneous. Have you noticed that? Like you can't even have like an Instagram live. Like you, if it doesn't hold your attention for what is it, 30 seconds before you guys swipe to the next, how many seconds before you guys swipe to the next thing? Your attention spans are like really, really tiny, like mine. I can sit there if the YouTube is not working quite right for Bible study, I'm good. I can hang in with a little adversity as it gets settled. You guys might get lost, go up, the camera ain't working, I'm out.
No, okay. So I will say, right, as someone that obviously uses different social media platforms, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, what have you. Yes, when artists or anyone goes live, if the content that they're talking about within the first, for me, for the first like minute of it or 3 seconds, I'll go to the next one because I'm just like, this is not, it's not.
Wasn't there some big concert that was online that everybody was waiting to get done right? And everybody was like, oh my gosh, it was terrible. It was like a versus or something was going on.
Oh yeah, that was a versus. That was during the pandemic when we still had time and people were actually glued to their phones or televisions. And there was a versus, I believe it was between two guy groups, but the audio was horrible. So we were all, you know, sitting there trying to like, you know,
Hang in
work with
there.
them because we're like, this should have been done before we even got on because there was this whole promotion about, okay, we're gonna go live at 8 o'clock, let's say. So everybody knew. 8 p.m. Eastern, we're gonna be live. Why that part wasn't done, I don't know, but I do know from myself and other people that were online talking about it, they were just like, We're trying. We're trying to hang on here, but most of us want to get off and be like, why are we even on here? And some people did jump off and say, oh, well, somebody tell me when they actually get together, because I'm not going to sit here while you guys are doing sound check when that should have been done an hour ago.
Yeah, because people don't realize bad press travels faster than good press. All it takes is one person to go, oh gosh, don't even try to go to that. Go to so-and-so's event instead because it was so dry, so boring, or whatever. That's why when you said to me, they did the format of the regular adult Sunday school. I was like, I'm sorry, adult Bible study. I said, oh, then they should have just had a regular invite everybody to Bible study. There's no need to have you separated. Separate means something's going to be a little bit different. And it can't be different because we want you guys to talk to each other different. It has to be different format in some way where the people there feel like it's for them. For instance, if I'm teaching something in nursery, there was one lady, and I got to talk about this when we get to her church. She actually does Sunday school online for the nursery kids, and she has a puppet on her hand. She has different puppets, and I was like, oh my God, that's so Sesame Street of her. Do you know, to say there's little ones that are going to be glued to the screen at home, and because they're not here in church, I want to give them something they can listen to on Sunday. And she takes time out of her schedule, and she makes a little, nursery school type, lesson plan and everything, and it does a Bible story, and she has a puppet there. She doesn't have to have one in real life. She could do it just like she does for the older kids. But because of her demographic, she says, I'm going to cater to what they like, and they like characters. So we're just asking for the same thing. I think the young adult Bible study needs to feel a little different. Like, did you guys get a chance to network and talk to each other at all the other people that were attending?
No, like I'll be honest, because I logged on exactly at 7 o'clock, and at 7 o'clock, they were working out some audio issues. And I only
That
had that.
happens.
That was only for like a good a couple minutes, but they fixed it. And then we did like a brief introduction of like our name and why we came to Bible study. We had Bible study, and then after the fact, we pretty much, everyone said thank you for, joining Bible study, and then we got off, and that was it.
So it felt very much like a college class.
To me, it was similar to a lecture hall. And for those of us that have been in college and have done a lecture hall, you know what I'm talking about, where, you're there because you need to be there to get the information, but you're also like sitting there playing on your phone. You're trying to pay attention, but you're just like, it needs like you need to be more engaged. And most of the time when I've had, or better yet, some of the times when I've had lecture hall classes, there would be a point where the professor would say, okay, so I made my point. You guys can break off for the next like 20 minutes, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about what you guys discussed.
Yeah, I love doing that in my classes. They love that.
Like we didn't really have that. Like, yes, the there were some there were there was some like parts throughout the Bible study where, they would ask like, oh, tell me your thoughts on this, or tell me your thoughts on that. And I do feel like other people were shy too, so that's why the same people kept like jumping in and saying stuff. But and I'll be honest, some people may not want to be put on the spot, myself included. I hate that. Like if you are giving a lesson and then you go, oh, Marisa, da da da, tell me, I'm just like, for real, don't do that to me. Because I'm gonna sit there. First of all, I'm gonna freeze. And I'm just like, because mind you too, right? Because this was done after work, and for me, because the work that I do, I have to use my brain a lot. So when I go to something that's after work, and my brain ha is now go is supposed to be on like, let's chill and relax and
It's on
whatever.
fumes. It can barely make it.
So now
You're
you're like,
yawning.
yeah. So now you're like asking me to turn it back on. My brain's on sleep mode until like 8 o'clock tomorrow. Like you can't do that to me.
Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. Well, one thing I do like about the fact that they are trying to make a form, and they're trying to find a way that it works for the young people. They do want you guys to meet on a regular basis. They're not trying to make it too taxing because it's like the last Thursday of every month. But it has some things that need to be worked out a little bit. And I think part of it is, like I said, earlier, the philosophers of the day. You should know who they are for these young people to be able to interject and connect. You're talking about love. There's a lot of stuff that happening that all these young people probably know about that they could talk about that happened in social on social media, in the media that you could have used as references to pull into that scripture, and meet them where they're at. Because I know Pastor Quick, he beats us, we were in Revelations for the longest time. And the reason why it didn't seem laborsome to stay in the same part of Revelation is because he always met us where we're at. He would say, we would get into the word, go deep into it, and then he would come out and bring it to where we are right now here in this society and things we're dealing with right now. If you can't hit young people with what they're dealing with right now, I mean, like we said, there's microaggressions, there's young women that are getting kidnapped, there's people that are afraid to have anxiety and afraid to be having interactions because they have a high threshold of anxiety. There's all kinds, there's peer pressures of all different sorts, not the regular kind we had back in the day. You have sexting out here now when people are trying to date. Dating's horrible right now for single people. I do not envy you guys at all. So if you can't meet them where they're at, you're talking about love, then talk about some of the complications, right?
Said every married person I've ever spoken to ever, like, I don't envy you guys, not at all. I'm just
No,
like,
no.
yeah, because
It seems hard.
it's different dating in 2023 compared to dating in the early 2000s, the 90s and the 80s. It's night and day because there's too many things that, like, there's too many options first and foremost. Like, there's too many avenues, let's just say. Whereas back in the day, it was simpler times. We
It
didn't
was
have,
simpler. Back then they would say so-and-so's a player, don't mess with him. These days, someone can love bomb you and make you feel like you are the one, and then they can just jilt you at the altar. I mean, they do all kinds of stuff these days. People, what was that one guy they had the Netflix thing about? He was conning all these women.
Oh yeah, I forgot the name of it, but there was this guy that, like, it was like this international thing because he was like going around talking to all these different females and he scammed them out of money. It was a I gotta find a name, but it was on
Swindler,
Netflix.
something
Oh yeah,
swindler.
the it was the tender swindler. That's what it was
Yes,
called.
that's what it
So
was.
it's on Netflix if you haven't seen it. But yeah, that and that's what I mean by there's
It's a
too many
different.
there is difference on top of you have a lot of people on social media. And let me preface this, not the ones that are actually licensed, the ones that are not licensed that want to be therapists and give advice that doesn't make sense. And people are following it. And I'm just like, I don't think that's right.
Yeah,
But
some people get therapy and think that means they can tell they can be a therapist when it doesn't work like that. You got therapy for you, boo-boo, not for the world. Tell the world to go to a therapist.
That's I feel like that's like your best bet. Like, if you are in therapy, God bless, but then you should tell your friend or whomever that's like very curious about it to have them also join therapy, because you could mess somebody up by giving people a anecdote that was actually meant for you to everybody else, and we're all like, I think that was meant for you, not for me.
You just gave a word today, Risa. That was just a word. But I'm glad you did go. Will you go back, or do you think it's something that you might want to wait and see about?
I definitely I do want to go back just to see, like, if there was any changes, if they added anything. But like I said, as far as I know, this is still new, so they could just be trying to, try out new things and see like what sticks on the wall. So I'll try it again.
I think what kind of jarred me about it is recording everybody. I mean, when you're on a Zoom, you kind of have to. I would have turned my camera off right away if I would have known. And I believe most of the young people do. I'm a professor, so when they see that you're recording it for your purposes, you have to give them the license to turn their cameras off because some people do not want their images out there forever, however you wish to use it.
So like so basically for this Bible study, right? When I initially logged on, I had my camera off. I think like one person had their camera on, and the rest of us, there was like six people online, had their cameras off. After they had fixed the audio issue, then of course we got the notification that said this meeting will be recorded. I then kept my camera off because I need somebody to tell me why are we recording this? Like, are we using this for like, church content to say, oh, we just had like a Bible study on this, and this is what it is, whatever. Like, just tell me what it is for.
Recently does not want to pop up in somebody's PowerPoint
Yeah, I
on a
really
day when she
don't.
just got home from work and she's tired and she's probably yawning on the screen. She doesn't want
Yeah,
that to
like,
happen.
right, because I don't want somebody being like, okay, so we had Bible study on this day at this time, and these people had their cameras off. This one person had their camera on. Don't be like these people. I don't want that, and I don't think they would do that. They probably just did it for themselves, just so they can look back to see,
It's probably just for educational purposes. You're right.
what worked and what didn't. But I'm like, just let me know.
Yeah, I think they forget too because it's at the 7 o'clock hour. Some people are eating their dinner. Some
Yeah.
people are eating because it was scheduled from 7 to 8:30 was originally scheduled for, right?
Right, and we ended at 8, so
Yeah. So some people are thinking, okay, I'm going to be at Bible study. I have my Bible right here, and I have my dinner because after this is over, I need to go to bed because I have to work the next day.
yeah, that honestly, that was me, because like I said, I get up early every yeah I get up early every day to get to work on time. So I'm just like, that's why, even though, again, I'm only in my early 30s, I can't be staying up late the way I used to. I really can't.
When I was teaching a night course at the college, I used to have people come in. I said, look, and the first day of class, I said, this class starts at night. If you bring food in here, all I ask is that it's not too loud and it's not too smelly. That's all I ask for. Because we get out of class, it'd be 8:30, and then some, by the time people get home, it's 9.
Yeah.
And can you imagine eating dinner at 9 o'clock at night and then going right to bed? I mean, that's terrible things for your digestion.
And I also want to make this a point too, because I know somebody's going to be like, but wait, you went to the Beyonce concert. Da-da-da. Yeah, I did. But guess what? Right? For that concert, I had coffee in my system. Caffeine, mind you. I don't even drink coffee. So I had coffee in my system on purpose so I could stay up for, I went to that concert. It started at 9. I didn't get home till about 2 in the morning. So that's different. I am on a coffee detox, so I have no coffee in my system whatsoever. So
None.
that's why I normally go to bed by like 9 o'clock.
Well, I appreciate the feedback on First Baptist's adult Bible study. It's going to get better. I think the playbook from the past is going to be looked at, and I'm sure it's going to be changed to a brand new blueprint that actually meets the young people where they're at. And young people, don't be afraid to say how you feel about it. If you want to, let me or Risa know something that we should let the ministry know about it. Hey, we got a platform. We'll support your voices, but I think they will too. I think if you went to, took Pastor Henderson aside, or even Pastor Quick aside, and let them know what things that you hope to see differently, they'll take it under advisement. The one thing that's bad though about young adult ministry, and having Bible study is that usually when you get so set in a format and you've planned it out, as the people that are over, it's really hard to implement change. But we have Pastor Quick. He's all about shaking things up and doing what works based on the Spirit. So hopefully, if somebody really sees something, like let's say you said shy people don't want to be put on the spot,
Right.
hopefully they can hear that and advocate for it and ask questions and things. Like what I would used to do for the shy people in my classes, I would put questions in the chat for them to respond to. You're on Zoom, put something in chat where I can be engaged and I can also engage with other people around me. Turn the chat on. Don't turn it
Right.
off.
And then I do also think too, because again, also for myself included, I think the young people like need to not put pressure on themselves, because sometimes when you have someone that like knows the word and they are presenting the word and they ask a question, you're like, well, I don't want to answer because I don't want to sound stupid or say something that's just like, and even though I know none of them would ever make anybody feel stupid at all, because they all seem very nice, it's just that when you're new to the faith, or better yet, you're new to Bible study, and you have, like I said, you have someone that is like a scholar, you're like, well, I don't want to answer the question and say something that's like, why'd you say
Oh
it? Like, yeah,
yeah.
why did you say that? So
Oh yeah. I presented somebody in class. They were actually giving a really good point that I liked, and I didn't want to try to paraphrase it and put it in my own words. So I said to my class, you guys got to hear this, right? And I played the video. It was a TED talk or something. And when it was all like, what did you guys think? And it was crickets. And I was like, oh wow. And I said, you guys didn't like it? And one guy's like, I barely knew what he was talking about.
Right.
And so I had to break it down. And once I did, it went a lot better. But you have to watch about, you might have so much knowledge in the area, you forget that you got to meet them where they are, in their growth in the faith. And sometimes when you get excited about the topic and you love it and you've taught it so many times, you can forget that, this is a new crowd. You know,
Right.
I gotta test the room and see what they know and don't know, and how slow they want me to go or how fast they want me to go.
Right.
You know, because some you might get a room full of scholars. Like, yeah, hit us with all the important big stuff and give us five scriptures based on the one you presented tonight, because we want to go back and highlight and study ourselves. And other people be like, can we stick on just two verses and go through them in depth? And give me a little background on this guy's story. And who's the guy
Right.
again? It might be a different audience. You know,
Right.
you got to meet people where they are. Definitely. So thank you for that. I appreciate you giving some honest feedback about an event you went to.
You're welcome.
When we go to First Baptist events, we're going to give feedback because that's what we do. It's our home church. And there's no such thing as a perfect church. Only Christ is perfect, right, Risa?
Right.
We're all works in progress. So let's go on to the sermon that Pastor Quick gave. He called it, Don't Get Over It, Get Through It. The scripture he took was from 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 7 of the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. After rejecting Saul as king of Israel, the Lord sent Samuel to Bethlehem to find a new king among the sons of Jesse. The Lord inspired Samuel to anoint David as the next king of Israel. David was chosen to be Saul's armor bearer and to play music on a harp when Saul was troubled by an evil spirit. That's the whole background of that scripture, and it's the basis for Pastor Quick's sermon. The sermon started with Pastor Quick addressing various topics of domestic violence, missing women of color, and microaggressions. He promoted the In My Feelings event coming up for young adults. He hopes it will aim to supporting them in their daily struggles. And he also encouraged everyone to have a physical Bible. Did they talk a little bit about In My Feelings, Risa, when it came to that young adult Bible study?
I don't recall them talking about that or any up and coming
Youth events?
things, right? But again, they may have said it before I logged on, but I didn't catch it.
Okay. Now, and you have new Bibles. When you got baptized, I believe that's a gift we've always done in our family. When
Yes.
someone gets baptized, Nana gave me a Bible when I got baptized. I gave you your Bible when you got baptized. I gave you two, actually. I gave you a study Bible and a regular. Nana has 20 Bibles, your grandmother.
I was going to say, I actually have three, but one of
Okay.
them I cannot find because when I was younger, my great aunt Elsie gave me a children's Bible and it's somewhere. I don't know where it is,
Well,
but
you'll find it, and one day you'll
yeah.
give it to your own child one day, who
Right,
knows? But I
right.
think it's important, like he said, to have a physical Bible, because you guys do have stuff on your phones, and I see a lot of young people looking up their scriptures on their phone and, oh, scriptures, whatever, they just turn to it, but they don't actually have something that they've tatted up, as they call it, you know, the Bibles that they've highlighted and written in and stuff like that.
But wait though, because when I was in my early 20s and I actually downloaded the Bible app, because I was like, I was called to read the Bible at that point. But you're able to actually highlight things on the like through the Bible app.
Oh, you
So yeah,
are.
you can, because I used to do that all the time when I used to read it all the time when I was younger in my early 20s. I used to highlight it different colors, like different verses, because what I did was I had the Bible app, and I was reading the Bible from the very beginning. So I would highlight different passages that, piqued my interest and what have you. And then something happened where I fell off and I stopped reading it. But you are able to highlight, you are able to put a note in to say, oh, like whatever you want to put, you can do it electronically, but it's not like the old fashioned grab the highlighter,
Why you had
highlight,
to use the
fix it.
word old fashioned?
Well,
It no.
or back to basics.
Back to basics. That's even
It
worse. You know, one thing you
is.
can't do with your nice little app that can highlight and you can write stuff in, just like I can my Bible. You know what you can't do?
What?
You can't hand it off to someone that you love.
I'm
When
pretty sure.
that Nana, well, when Nana decides to give out her Bibles and says, you know, this is the Bible that helped me through this and gives me that Bible, it's going to be a cherished thing.
Right.
When I give you my Bible that I've read and I've studied in and I've tatted up, it'll be a cherished thing.
It
You
will
can't
be.
hand over no application and say, hey, when you turn 12, I'm put this on your phone. It's going to have all my tats all over it on my.
I can give you my old phone with the app on it and say,
No,
here you
no, 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 no.
go.
It loses something in translation.
I know. Listen, I still like physical books. So
Okay.
I'm all about passing down books that, someone had and it was in the family. I'm all about tradition. So.
Yeah, I've read scriptures and they brought you to mind. They've brought Nicole to mind. They brought my mother, you know, and I've written, oh, this reminds me of Risa here. Or this reminds me of when my mother said XYZ. I've
Right.
written stuff that you can go back and when you're an adult woman and you come to that same passage, like, oh, my mom wrote, and you'll look in the spine or in the inside parts where there's a lot of space. You'll see I've
Right.
written some things, and it'll mean something to you because first of all, it's your mother's writing. Secondly, it has something to do with some part in her life that she's trying to give you some wisdom.
Right. As long as that verse is not something crazy and you're like, dang, she was really worried about me, about to put my name next to it. Like, what year
She was
was
so worried she should
that?
put Risa, two underlines, exclamation mark, exclamation
Yeah,
mark.
because
Okay,
then
gotcha.
I'm gonna sit there and be like, what year was
That's funny though. That's
that?
funny though. Okay. Now, even though I didn't mention the whole In My Feelings event for young people, that is coming up at First Baptist, and it is made, we're supposed to be a place where you guys can talk more and talk about your daily struggles. Now, if you're a shy person, I don't know, Risa, if you're gonna wanna be talking, but you might want to go and listen. You know, might want to go and listen.
Yeah, I'll probably listen. Honestly, I'll probably listen for support. I just listen when it comes to my feelings. I feel like I like to save them for certain reserved parties that feel like a safe space. Not saying that space is not a safe, not a safe space. It
Just not
probably,
vetted yet. It's just
it
not a
probably,
vetted space for you.
right. It probably is, but just for me, I'm very particular about when I open up about things.
Yeah. And just because it's in church does not mean it's a safe place. I mean, there's been many
Yeah.
churches that have not been safe for some people, and some people have left the church for the because
Right.
of church hurt. Church hurt is a real thing. And if you're a person that is vulnerable or has said something to clergy in private, and all of a sudden they're using it as an example at the pulpit, you could feel some kind of way. So I get you. You know, just because you're private, it's okay to be private. God made you just the way you are. Embrace it. Now,
Yes.
Pastor Quick reflected on 1 Samuel 16, and he highlighted the significance of moving according to God's will, even in the face of disappointments. He discussed the writing of theologian Paul Tillich and expressed our need to truly know God. Pastor Quick went on to speak about the stages of transformative resilience and the importance of embracing change and innovation. He mentioned the book R-Type, Transformative Resilience for Thriving in a Turbulent World by Alma and Stephanie Morrison. And he mentioned a New York Times article that featured the six steps to turning setbacks into advantages that was written by Kristen Wong. Now, the stages he highlighted were as follows. One, you're in your comfort zone. And two, then you experience a disruption. Three, you're in the middle of chaos. And four, a catalyst emerges. Five, you move towards something new. And six, you become comfortable with change. FBCLG, our home church, is going through a change. We went from Pastor Sorries to Pastor Quick. And a lot of things are a little bit different now, right?
Yeah, I feel like with any church, any job, when there is someone new that comes in, of course, like most people that I've seen, they don't change everything overnight, but they do like to see what works, and they also want to hone in on what does not work, and they want to change some things. And I do recall Pastor Quick saying, yes, I have cracked some eggs, and he's like, and I'm still not done yet, because there's still more things that he wants to do in order to take us to the place that he wants us to go.
Yeah. Pastor Quick cautioned against the influence of sinful behavior and encouraged spiritual elevation through positive relationships. He encouraged all of us to embrace change and innovation and emphasize the importance of stepping into the promises of God. Then he urged us to be cautious about our associations, avoiding those that are engaging in sinful behavior like gossiping, stealing, lying, and instead surround ourselves with wholesome people that can uplift and support us on our spiritual growth. Now, this message highlights the needs of genuine obedience to God and the importance of aligning the desire, our desires with His will. And he reflecting on all the biblical examples, Pastor Quick cautions against becoming complacent in setbacks and emphasized the value of moving forward in our faith. At the end, he concluded with three key points for his congregation to for his congregants to remember: adjusting our expectations, surrendering to God's restorative process, and actively participating in faith growth and discipleship. Now, I liked this sermon a lot because it reminded me of something I said to you earlier in the week about spiritual growth and, knowing the Lord. Some people give their life to Christ, or like in our example, our church, they come to the altar in First Baptist And they agreed to walk with First Baptist, our church. They agreed to, and the church even says, yes, we agree that they can, we will walk with them in their faith walk. And they get to know the church really well. They take part in ministry. They come and make connections with people too in the faith. They know First Baptist, they know when we meet, they know different, congregants that come every Sunday, different people, different deacons, different ministers, and they know the church, but they don't know Christ. And the example I gave you is somebody could get to know me really well, and they know I'm married to my husband Gary, right? I talk about Gary, they know me, they've known me for years. They really know me, and they know of Gary through me. But they don't really know him. If he walked past them on the street, they wouldn't recognize him because they don't have a relationship with him. They have a relationship with his wife, me. Angeline does, and they could spot me down the street. Oh, that's Angeline over there in that coat. Hey, girl, and I could tell them all day long, my husband cooked me dinner last night. Ooh, girl, now you had a good husband. He cooked you dinner. Me and my husband went, we went shopping together. We had to go to Costco to pick up. I said, ooh, you and your husband ran errands, girl. That's so nice. Your husband and y'all running errands. They know of him, but they don't know him. Now, if they take the time to come knock on the door and he opens the door and he says, come on in, and they sit and talk with him, then they get to know Gary. And if they keep coming back and learning stories that Gary likes to tell stories, you know that, Risa, right? He likes to tell about his life and he likes to have connections and he'll find out who their people are. He might know some of your people. And then you'll feel like, okay, I have a relationship now with Angeline and Gary, the bride and her husband. So it's one thing to give your life. You say you're giving your life to Christ and you get all wrapped up in the bride of the church. You need to give yourself a moment and realize what you're doing. You know a lot about the church, but when's the last time you read your Bible? When's the last time you were, religiously, daily praying to God? How well do you know Christ?
Yeah, that is something that I know for myself because I got baptized in August. Like, I make it a point, not saying I'm perfect, but I do try my best to at least read my Bible before I go to sleep every night. And if I can't read a whole page, at least a couple verses.
Yeah, at least a verse or two. I mean, no one's asking you to become a scholar overnight. When I read my scriptures every day, the first thing I ask God, and I read mine right after I do my makeup. I said to God, if you get me up and got me to the point where I can look cute before I go out into the world with the cuteness, I'm going to thank you and I'm going to read my scriptures right there. So what I always, my prayer to him when I before I open my scriptures is, help me hear what your voice sounds like. Because people say, God told me this, God told me that. I want to know what your voice sounds like in the scripture. So I got to get used to reading what his voice sounds like in the word. So as you go from the New Testament to the Old Testament, or wherever you are in the scriptures, get you like you're reading New Testament, I'm reading Old Testament right now. So you're getting used to hearing how Jesus said and phrased things. Sometimes he was very direct. Sometimes he was talking in metaphors. And you get used to hearing the cadence of his voice on paper. So now when the Holy Spirit whispers something to you, it'll have a certain feel to it. If you've told God to help you get more in tune with his voice. That's how I feel. And it has been working for me as I've been reading. I've been slowly getting better at understanding when it's, nah, that's just me thinking, and that wasn't God that said nothing. God, Holy Ghost ain't say nothing. That was all Angeline, because God don't even talk like that.
That I will agree. Like, you can start to tell the difference of when it's you saying it versus when it's him saying it, because like you said, he can be more direct or he'll speak in a metaphor. And I do like I kind of laugh sometimes when people tell me, oh, God told me to tell you, because the first thing I say is, God, if you told this person X, Y, and Z, give me a sign, because I want to know.
Yeah, that's true. And when we say talk to you, I don't mean it's a physical voice I'm hearing in my head. I have not gotten to the point, I think only twice in my life I've heard actual words, and where I was actually praying, and I've heard words that I knew were not my own, and it's been repetitious to the point where I had to do something. That's only happened like two or three times in my life. Most of the time I get impressions. Most of the time I get an impression I should do this. I was like, oh, should I do that? No, I ain't doing that, Lord. And I get an impression again. But it's not like I hear and I can say he sounds like James Earl Jones mixed with a little bit of, Samuel L. I don't know. I don't know what his voice sounds like. But I can't say it's a distinct voice. But like, oh, I heard you, Lord. I know what his voice. It's not like that. It's not like I hear an actual voice in my head.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Have I ever heard his voice?
I get impressions. What do you get?
I don't like. I've never heard his voice either that I can recall. I might have thought I heard it, but it was probably my own voice. But I do get very strong impressions.
Sometimes I get close to tears when it's him. Like I'm praying or something, or I get moved by a certain song. The Holy Ghost would make me like my spirit's real tender. I might cry. I might get like very grateful. And I know it's him. I know it's the Holy Spirit kind of around in the moment. But it's never been like, because you know what? I believe those parts of the scripture where people said they saw God and they fell to their face or they got scared. I think if I really saw him, Risa, he'd be so powerful. And so I think I'd be scared before I'd be like, oh yeah, hey God, how you doing? We talk all the time. No. I think I'd be hiding behind something if it was really hearing from God.
Yeah, because I know for myself, not only do I get a strong conviction, I also like when I know something came from him, I definitely do cry because it's almost like I get like this wave of emotions and I'm just like,
I get
where is
choked up
yeah,
sometimes too.
I get very choked up, like my throat will lock up and I know that came from him.
I remember back when I was younger, we had testimony meetings, and you'd be like, people would stand up ready to go to the mic to give their testimony. And you're good when it's like seven people in front of you. You might be a little nervous, but you're good. But when you get closer and closer to the mic being in front of you, man, you get choked up. You don't know what you want to say. You might start stuttering. It's just really a bad look. But all it takes is that one church mama to come up before you, and she testifying to the goodness of the Lord, and she got the whole crowd in a good mood, and you're like, oh yeah, I can do this now. But I get that whole, your emotions get tied up in it. So, Pastor Quick's sermon, don't get over it, get through it, was live streamed on October 1st, 2023, on the FBC Somerset YouTube channel. Please, when you get a moment, check it out. Now let's go over to New Hope Baptist Church in East Orange, New Jersey. They posted a September 24th sermon that we know you're going to enjoy. It's called "It's Time to Climb." The speaker was Reverend Jesse Branson Jr. The scripture was Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 4 of the New International Version of the Bible. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John to a mountain where he is transfigured with the glory of God. The presence of Elijah leads the disciples to think the Messiah's earthly reign is imminent, but Jesus reminds them that he will suffer first. Now, throughout life, Pastor Bronston tells us we encounter wilderness, travail valleys, and ascend mountains. When facing a mountain, we must choose to prepare for the climb instead of succumbing to Satan's whispers of doubt. Christ will be our guide as we ascend, and we must tune into his voice and disregard any skeptics. And although Christ will accompany us up the mountain, the climb won't be effortless. We will sweat, we will grow weary, but this climb serves a purpose. Our most profound testimonies will arise from us when we've had adversity and any kind of struggle. So don't pray for a life that's void of any difficulties. I know a lot of times I used to pray, please let me have a good day. Please don't let this work out. Please. And you're always praying for things just not to be easy for us. I don't think I ever prayed, let me go ahead and give me that difficulty, Lord, I can deal with it. I don't think I've ever prayed for him to give me something that's going to make me be full of pain or difficulty or trial. How about you?
Yeah, I've definitely never prayed for any type of like pain. I've asked them to take things away that cause me pain.
Yeah. But he said, if you find yourself praying that don't, please, Lord, take away this, let's say for instance, one of the things is a financial problem. Lord, please take away this difficulty. Take away. That's not the prayer he's saying. He said this, it should be prayer for how can you navigate this? How can I make sure that I've learned what I need to learn so I'm not in this place anymore? And I get it. But when at the time when the debt collector's knocking on the door, all you could think is, Lord, help me deal with this difficulty, where the money's going to come from.
So I have a question about that, because I know in the Bible, like the debt collector was going door to door. They don't do that today, do they? Go door to door, the debt collectors?
No, but they turn off stuff electronically. You know,
Well,
the light, PSE&G, the light guy may not come to the door, but if you keep ignoring that shut off notice, the lights are going off. T-Mobile may not come to the home, but you keep ignoring that notice that they're gonna cut it off. They will do it electronically. Click, it's off.
Yeah, that's what I thought, because I was like, I'm pretty sure they just cut things off. I know, like, if you have an apartment, like, you'll get a letter saying, like, we're gonna.
Landlords will come and get a sheriff to put something on your door
Yeah.
and move your stuff out eventually. So yeah, I mean, there are, those are the last ones that I've heard of is actually dealing with rental
Right.
properties. They still can come around with the sheriff to make sure you are duly aware that you can no longer be, you must vacate the premises. And I remember being a little kid and you would see some of your classmates that would say there's a notice on the door and you were walking your friend home. Oh my gosh, Risa, how sad to be like you're walking a friend home and they got a note on the door. And then their mother opens the door to greet the child and they see it up there and they snatch it down in embarrassment. And your friend is like, bye. You know, it's not going to be a good night at home.
Right. I actually knew someone like extremely close to me that had came home from school and they tried to get into their house and they couldn't because they had chained up the doors. So they had to call one of their relatives and they had to come pick them up. It was bad because their house was like I guess the rent wasn't paid for a period of time, and after a while they chained the doors up so they couldn't get back in the house.
Oh wow, but all their stuff is still in the house. Wow.
Yeah, it was sad.
Yeah. Pastor Branson went on to say, as soon as you embrace a challenge, you'll discover who your true friends are. A mountain would offer moments of reflection and reveal new aspects of God's grace. So it's through chaos that we learn to appreciate peace, and it's through sickness that we learn to appreciate health. What do you think about that reason? Like, we go through these things so that we can appreciate the good times. Like, you can't appreciate sunshine unless you had a little rain, you know?
I do feel that that statement is true. Sometimes you don't appreciate things or life until you go through things that actually make you grateful, because sometimes you could take those things for granted, like having great health. You may not realize how good you have it until, God forbid, you have like a sickness that, takes you out for a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. He went on to say at the end, walk faithfully and prayerfully with Jesus on your faith journey, because God will provide sustenance along the way to renew your spirit. So keep climbing, learning, and growing in faith. You can view It's Time to Climb on New Hope Baptist Church of East Orange's YouTube channel. So when you get a moment, please check it out. So now we're gonna turn time over to Risa. You have a dove of the day today, Risa. Who's the dove?
Yes, I do. Okay. So, Dove of the Day, let me get pull up my notes, is Dr. Beth Newton. She was actually this year's Jefferson Award winner. And she has dedicated 40 years to education while raising her family and volunteering. And after the tragic loss of her son, she founded Something for Alex, a charity that aims to change the world through random acts of kindness. Dr. Beth, excuse me, will represent the CSRA at the National Jefferson Awards in NYC, where she hopes to learn from others and continue helping her community. So, for those of you that don't know, the Jefferson Award is basically a award ceremony that celebrates people that do random acts of kindness. And because Dr. Beth set up a charity that actually helps people, that's why she was able to get the award.
Now, the charity Something for Alex, from what I read about it is that it all started off because she lost her son, right, Risa?
Yes. So I do have the story of that. So because she did say during the award ceremony that she had a God moment, so I wanted to just briefly read that for you guys.
Okay.
So it was about a year after Alex was killed in Atlanta that I got this letter from someone that I did not know from Denver, Colorado, named Matt. And in it was a 7-page handwritten letter and some pictures about a trip that Alex had gone on with Matt in 2012. And on that trip, Matt had not packed correctly, and it was New Orleans, chilly nights, and chilly mornings, and he didn't have any long sleeve shirts. And Alex saw that Matt was cold and wanting to, get warm and have a better time. So he offered him the shirt off his back that he was wearing, and he loaned it to Matt for the entire weekend. And that action of Alex seeing a need and showing some kindness to someone he had just met really planted a seed with Matt. Once Matt had learned about Alex's death, he knew he had to do something. So he honored Alex at his wedding reception by collecting coats and hats and gloves from his guests, and they collected over 180 pieces of clothing and had a something for Alex at their wedding. It was so touching. And just to know that he wanted to honor Alex and then let me know of how he did this. And it was our godsend to know how to turn our pain into purpose. So.
Oh, I love that. A kind act by a person that turned into, he made a bigger gesture, in his memory of coats and hats and gloves of 180 items of his wedding guests, to have everybody coming instead of bringing a gift. They probably still had a registry and everything, but instead of bring that with you, we're going to collect that. That was beautiful. That was absolutely beautiful.
And I do love the fact, and I also want to go on to say that Something for Alex is a nonprofit agency in Thompson that serves the surrounding community. So if
All
you
right.
are able to donate anything, please do, because they do want to help out the people that live in that community.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Risa. I like your dub of the day. I love how you always find someone that's doing good in the world. I mean, it would be so easy to find people that we want to, say they're doing a terrible job or that they're, did something wrong. But for our dub of the day, we pick people that are actually trying to make the world a better place. And we need more people like that.
Yes, and I do want to say too, I've been noticing this for like a couple of weeks now. For whatever reason, yes, when it comes to the news, like there are a lot of things that are very negative. And when I have to go and look for positive news stories, it takes me a very long time. So for all the people that have different news outlets, I appreciate you reporting the news as is, but can we also have a section about like the positive stuff? Because I know this world can be wicked, and we have said it numerous times, but there are some beautiful things about the world that are still here, and I feel like that should also be celebrated and be given a platform as well.
We used to have, although they used to call them feel good stories.
Right.
And what happened is we got so pulled into the Nielsen ratings and what is rating and what is everybody wants to be the number one news broadcast, the number one, I don't know, 24-hour news show, whatever it is that those feel good stories did not have the same pull on the audience as all the sensationalized top of the morning news bits. So if something happened like tomorrow, if something happens top of the morning on Monday morning, that will run all day. And that little feel good story will get buried. So you're right, we don't highlight it. Now you do have a lot of Christian magazines and things that try to look out for testimonies and good things and try to promote them. But they're not doing it for the platform or for the ratings. They're just doing it because they believe those good stories need to be heard, just like you are. So they're searching too. So I guess we need to put a call out for anyone that knows of anyone that's doing a great work. It doesn't have to be on a national scale. Maybe it's someone that, did something nice for someone at your local church or in your school or in your neighborhood. Send Risa an email about it. Risa at withthequickness.com, and we'll see if they're worthy of being Dove of the Day and get some honor and some accolades from people that are giving them a bravo on being a good person in the world. Right, Risa?
Absolutely, because we definitely want to broadcast the great things that are happening in the world. The world is not, it's not 100% dark. There are good people, there are good men, there are good women, there are good people, and I just want to highlight that.
Yeah, and you don't have to go viral to get people's attention. You can be a regular person that knows somebody and says, I want to nominate my mom. My mom's been doing so much for us and we take her for granted. I'm going to nominate her for Dove of the Day. And that's okay with us. Make sure we spell her name right on the
Yeah,
website.
please.
That's what
All I ask, if you are going to give me like someone's mom, someone's dad, uncle, what have you, if you could just make sure that you could put the actual pronunciation so I don't say their name wrong, because I have a thing about that, because my name has been said wrong numerous times. I'd
saying.
appreciate it.
That's her digging, being naming her meal Risa. It's okay. It's
Yeah.
both of her grandmothers. I wanted to honor both of them, so I did something a little different. I didn't do by the playbook. I did a different blueprint.
Exactly.
Beyonce's mom did the same thing. Kind of like that. You
Exactly.
took family's names and kind of changed it different. So
Exactly.
thank you so much, Risa, for that Dove of the Day.
You're welcome. Oh, okay. So Dove of the Day is brought to you by Prayer Bowls.
Let's move on to the screening room. I love the screening room. I found out this weekend that what is it called? Great American and PureFlix merged. So now it's Great American PureFlix.
Oh.
Oh yeah. So they are not a sponsor of the podcast, but this movie does come from the PureFlix catalog. It's called Divine Influencer. It came out this year, 2023. It was written by Suzanne Elridge, Claire Yorita Lee, and Susanna Niles. It was directed by Cherie Rigby. And it stars Lara Silver, which is she was in The Chosen. You might recognize that name. Jason Berkeley, who was in The Mulligan, Jesse Metcalf, Micah Lynn Harrison, Rebecca Cones, and more. Now here's a brief synopsis. In this movie with these very strong leads, Lara and Jason, their characters play a big role in the story that emphasizes that with God's help, people can change for the better. With his help, we can change for the better. Here's the premise of the story. It revolves around Olivia, a materialistic girl who hasn't quite grown up yet at 29. She sells clothes and does video sales pitches on Instagram, but spends too much money and relies on her parents for help. When Olivia makes an online comment that her boss dislikes, she's fired, which creates an awkward situation as her close friend Kimberly is the owner's daughter. Kimberly offers Olivia a temporary place to stay in her home, but the situation has to change when Olivia's negligence endangers Kimberly's pets. Olivia's parents have reached their limit with her behavior, and they decide, even though she's going through all this turmoil being fired, they decide to cut her off financially. And they urge her to finally grow up. They express how much they love her, but they also set a boundary. Despite her flaws, Olivia finds herself in a homeless shelter, Harvest Rescue Mission, where she's united with an old acquaintance named Ryan, who manages the mission. They share some funny, touching moments, including reconnecting through their high school memories. Now, the themes of this movie are faith, integrity, testimony, friendship, influencing others, community service, courage, prayer, hope, and trust. I like this movie, Risa. If I was having a young adult movie night, you guys would be watching it because it really had, I loved every time she met somebody, she was always pulling up her camera and doing the selfie thing where you guys extend over your head like smile and taking the picture. It had a lot of things that really resonate with this society, how you guys try to document everything from your food to what you're wearing. And you think your comments about fashion, everyone that's listening to you, I guess you kind of think they're your tribe. They're your followers, but they're not really your tribe. They're people that don't know you. They just know of what you're posting about. Little fake celebrities.
See, I used to be that person that was like, oh, let me document my food. Let me document. And I'll be honest, right? When I saw people that actually do this for a living, the people that take pictures of their food and it looks all like, super like professional, whatever, I stopped doing it because I was like, I'm not like my food's getting cold. I just want to eat.
They do make good money at it. I mean, there
They
are some
do.
people that are in high school or in college and they're trying to make money at it and they're not quite there, but there are people that are making a lot of money.
No, like there this past weekend, I actually just watched a Forbes interview of a Rutgers nurse student. I think her name is Monet McMichael. She went
Okay.
to the Rutgers Nursing School in Camden, and
Okay.
she actually she went from being a nursing graduate to a beauty influencer. And I was like, oh, and she was talking about like how she did it, and it was a lot of documentation. And I'm just like, God bless her. I don't have the patience to do it. Like I'm kind of just like, I just want to go. But people like her and even the younger generation, they love to document everything and they're good at it. So I'm just like, hey, if you're able to make it a career, why not?
The only thing, I think the reason why it's taken off the way it has is like back in the day, we used to make sure our commercials were a certain way on TV because we have everybody's attention because they're watching their favorite shows, right? And in between the shows, we show commercials of things we wanted them to purchase, buy, whatever. Now, because we have all these streaming platforms for music and for videos, we're trying to reach you on the platforms you guys are streaming from. A lot of you people stream on their phones. Phones are the mini computers. There are many TVs. You can have your own little. I can take something I'm watching on my TV and screen share it with my smart TV, and I'm watching it. You know,
Right. And
so it got to the point now where everybody thinks I gotta keep your attention. Therefore, on when it comes to social media or TikTok, like you talked about before, they're like mini ads. So if you have an influencer talking about your product, it's a win-win as far as the big companies are thinking.
yeah, I think one of the housewives for this season of New York, the reboot, she's actually a social media influencer. So I was like, oh, and she was like, I make a lot of money just by
She
talking
does.
about products, and they'll send her products and they want her to talk about it and review it. So I'm just like, oh,
Because
but
people want to buy things from someone that actually uses it, you know?
right. But I do feel like it is a catch 22 though, because I know for myself, I'm at the point where I kind of want to not be on my phone all the time. And I do miss those simpler times of just watching a show and I'm not grabbing my phone because everything is already on television. But you're right, like a lot of things are, it used to be where you could watch a show, they have a commercial, whatever, you buy it. Now it's just like, oh, if you have your phone, you can scan it, you can scan this this QR code and you can, buy whatever product, whatever. So
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame that everyone's become little mini marketers to the point where you don't know, are they really telling you this is a great product because it's their honest opinion and they want what's good for me that came across their page, or they're getting paid. So now they have to say, this is an ad. Sometimes you see that it's announced now. It's like, don't fool people. Tell them this is a paid advertisement. You know, it used to be I had to stay up late at night to watch celebrities trying to hawk stuff, Risa. I used to watch Suzanne Summers and all of them late at night trying to tell me to buy Thigh Masters and George Foreman grills, but now they're all on the internet.
But see, even in music videos, again, going back to my love space, music, even in music videos, it used to be when they would try to promote something in a video, it wouldn't be so obvious, it would be covert. Now it's to a point where I can tell that you have, this brand, let's just say this sub brand, Jersey Mike's, let's just say you have it in your video, and I'm like, wait, the video, let's just say the video is like this glamorized video, but then you're standing with a Jersey Mike sub and you make it a point to make sure that we can actually see the logo, because you're one like, oh, this is a promo,
You're
because
dressed in a ball gown and you're
right,
eating a Jersey Mike's up.
because what's happening is these different companies are like, hey, if you feature one of my products, we will give you money, and the artist will take that money to put it towards their video, because every artist has a budget for every album, every video, whatever. So now some artists will take it over the top where they'll have like eight different brands in the video, and you're just like,
Yeah. What happened to them also? They used to like blur out the logo. Remember on MTV, they used to blur
yeah.
out the logo. They don't do that anymore, or they do?
No, they don't, because a lot of
Not
these videos.
online, but on TV, they probably still blur it out, right?
No,
They do?
on TV they keep it like that,
Oh,
because yeah,
wow.
because these companies are like, yeah, we gave you this money so you can promote our product. Like there was an artist that I had just watched a video from a couple of years back, because nowadays videos are not really popping the way that they were, and I miss that. But there was this one artist I was watching, and she was the one that had like Jersey Mike's in there. She had like these other things, and I was just like, what? But then obviously I knew from a business standpoint, I'm like, oh, she did that because they're giving her money, and in return she was going to promote their
Gotcha,
products, because
gotcha.
that helps them like bring traffic to their business.
Now I gotta rewind. You said videos aren't popping off the way they used to. What? But we have the Video Music Awards and stuff like that. You mean there's no one's really looking for videos? They're still putting them out, right?
They put them out, but it's not like, the thing is, right, okay, so back in the day, and I'm not aging myself, but I am kind of, back in the day, we had TRL, which was like where,
That was my generation. TRL. Oh my gosh.
right,
Carson Daly.
and it was mine too. So we had TRL and we had 106 in
In
Park
Park.
for BET, right? And we also had VH1 had their weekend countdown in the morning,
True.
right? So we had that show. So we had these different platforms that were counting down videos. But the biggest one at that time was TRL, because a lot of high schoolers would leave their schools and they would all be outside in Times Square with their signs and to see different celebrities. Once Twitter and these other social media platforms popped off, there wasn't a need for TRL anymore. And there wasn't a need, quote unquote, for 106 and Park on BET. And on top of that, too, you have YouTube now. So now it's like, okay, if we have YouTube, why do we need to wait for this show to come out? Because I'll be honest, I lived for TRL. I lived for what was it, the making of the video? I live for Access Granted, which would actually give you that whole behind the scenes of like how a video comes to be, and then at the end of that episode they would, premiere the video. But because of YouTube, because of social media, and people were able to get things instant, the TV was now like, we don't need it anymore.
Yeah, what I've noticed too, like you're saying, like when YouTube started taking off, is when people could watch trailers and videos instead of waiting for it to come on a certain time of day on a certain channel. Oh, so and so Sony just released the video for XYZ. We go to YouTube and look at it right away and comment. So what such and such an artist just dropped a new video, go to YouTube, watch it. And when they realize, why go and try to push MTV or push some network to show a clip of the trailer or the show, the video and music video, when I gotta get to the people where they are. And so what happens is when you meet people where they are, when YouTube started rising, it made the TV component get minimized. And so now the second largest search engine in the world after Google is YouTube. When you want to know how to do something, you're putting it in YouTube. You're putting it in Google, you'll find an answer, you put it in YouTube. It's the second largest one now.
Yeah, and then even for the radio, like it used to be, okay, I'm gonna listen to this radio program during this time slot because there's a good chance they're gonna premiere someone's new song. There's no need to do that anymore because you have streaming services. So it's a catch 22.
Yeah, it used to be you
Like,
would buy a CD just for one or two songs you like. Now it's like, why buy the whole CD? I can just buy one or two songs and put it on my it used to be an iPod Touch, but now those went away. Now you can just stream and make your own kind of playlist, and it can stream anywhere. Play on in your car, play while you're at work, play in your home.
Like everything has now basically been put into our smartphones because our phone used to be only able to like call and text. Now it's like your phone can call, text, stream the internet, watch videos, make a video, what have you. So it's like gone are the days of simpler times of coming home and wanting to watch TRL at like what, 3 o'clock? Yeah, at 3 o'clock and watch the countdown and figure out, okay, which song is which videos were, videos 1 through 10, 10 being like the highest honor of like number one video of that time. Now it's like you have YouTube. And even then, YouTube, like it does show you the stream. So in a sense, I don't want to say videos don't matter. They do matter, but it's not the same. Like when I think back to the days of TRL and I think back to YouTube, it's night and day because it's not the same.
I think that's why God is pushing so many people of the faith to move into the online social media arena. He's pushing us to become more Christian influencers because we have the other influencers out there and they're pushing their own agenda. But who's pushing Christ's agenda? He wants to be everywhere the people are. And if all of them are on YouTube watching something, you know what? If you're a Christian singer, you watch Christian movies, they should be something on that platform too for people that can find you. And that's why we're here. And that's why other people are here, because it's like there's things that, there's tools and things out here that Christ has for you. And you might be struggling to find it. So you are willing to put on the backpack and go up the mountain, with your stick in hand. Like, I'm gonna find these songs for y'all. I'm gonna find people that are doing good work for y'all. I was willing to say, let me look at what the other churches are doing. Some of the churches don't have a head pastor. Like the church we're featuring today, New Hope Baptist, they don't have a senior pastor that I could find. They have an associate pastor, but they don't have a senior pastor in East Orange. But they had a really good sermon today. Churches are suffering. People are saying, sitting in the pews, is there another way to do that? So they're looking for streaming services. They're trying to find their tribe of that believes what they believe in their Christian faith online. Because you're right, there is social anxiety now. There's people that are also scared of getting sick with COVID. They don't want to be crowded up in pews. And the ones that do want to go, yes, they want the word, but maybe they go to church maybe one out of the 4 Sundays in the month, you know?
Yeah, that's why I feel like because of what happened during the pandemic, where places such as a church had to now implement the cameras, just like how Pastor Quick has said today, and how that made a difference. I do feel like at some point we're not there officially, but I do feel like concerts and movies are gonna probably make it so that like you don't have to leave your house if you
Oh,
really
yeah.
have like really bad anxiety. You can watch it at home. Like that will probably be like an option at some point.
Yeah, they tried it a couple of times. A couple of movies came out directly to our TVs, right? You could pay for it
Right.
and watch it at home.
Right.
And Sony got money. The only
Right.
bad thing is artists, like, I think Black Widow tried to do it, and one of the actresses were like, yo, I'm supposed to get part of that money. Y'all said box office. Y'all didn't give me anything in my contract about you guys streaming it and the percentage I deserve of that.
Right, like
I
they
think that was
did.
Scarlett Johansson, I believe that was.
Yes, it was Scarlett Johansson. Like she did. There was a situation between her and Disney, with the streaming of that movie. But then, as far as the concerts, I know during the pandemic there was two artists that I saw: Dua Lipa, who's a pop artist, and JoJo, who's a pop R&B artist, who also had concerts that they were live streaming. People were able to pay for it online. But I feel like the big concerts, like Taylor Swift's and Beyonce's of the world, I feel like they're gonna get to a place where, okay, the people that want to come here, or the ones that are able to come to the concert, will pay the money. If you can't come and for whatever reason you want to watch it from home, because technically these artists, they do have cameras, so they're capturing the footage anyway,
Yep.
then we can make it so that you can stream it from home. Now the issue that's going to happen is, okay, the amount of money that someone is going to pay to physically go there is going to be different from the person that gets to watch it from home.
But
And
you know
that's
what you do to get around that?
what.
If you're really into making money, and these ladies are with their tour groups, you make sure enough of the dates have gone by and you collected the money. You can't find those images, that whole concert anywhere. Until you get to a certain point where you say, and both of them are doing it, now you can have that whole what has been captured has been cut and edited in the best form possible, and it's going to be in the movie theaters. Taylor Swift's going to be in the movie theaters, and then Beyonce's concert's going to be in the movie theaters. And for a limited time, people that saw it once and want to see it again will go, and people that never went and can't afford those prices are going to go. But they made the bulk of their money already in a lot of dates already.
Well, yeah, that's the thing though. It's like they can take like the best clips and put it in a movie theater, but I'm talking about if they're live streaming the concert in real time to someone that is watching it from home, you can't control I don't know,
Yeah.
the 30,000 people that are there
But you know what? There's
taking
nothing that can
pictures.
handle that yet. I hate to interrupt, but there's nothing
Right.
that can handle that yet. We tried that a couple times to do all live and it crashed so many times and there was so many problems. There hasn't been a server worthy of doing the whole world streaming at the same time.
That's what I'm saying. Like it like we're not at that point
We're
yet,
not there.
but I know there is some genius that is like probably working
Oh
on
yeah,
some,
probably in your generation.
yeah, some working on some like terabyte type of like platform that can handle that. And I'm sure that'll be the next issue within the
If
industry.
NASA doesn't grab him first,
Yeah.
before whoever in your government, if you're from the United States or another country, the minute you develop it, your leaders or your government gonna come and get you and get that stuff and say, no, this has to be used for military purposes first.
Right.
And that's just how it's gonna roll. If it's out there, Risa, it's already under lock and key.
Well, yeah. I
Like
mean,
for instance, when I was watching Knight Rider as a kid in the car talking.
it's.
Now I had to wait all the way to 2023 these times for cars to talk, you know?
But
Star
see,
Trek, they had a little thing they opened up and they could
right.
say, "Beam me up, Scotty," and talking in their little handheld
Right.
device. I had to wait until later in life to get a cell phone and do the same thing and talk to Siri. You know
But
what I mean?
see, I feel like somebody lied to me though, because when I was a kid and I used to watch the Jetsons and stuff like that, they said by 2030 we're supposed to have cars that could fly. I get to see a car that could fly.
I have.
You have?
I saw one. Yeah.
Where?
If it was a plane that ended up flying and it ended up going down into the water, and then it's like it turned into a car. It kind of transformed.
So
But
it was a
yeah,
transformer.
Yeah, it kind of transformed. But my thing is, everything you saw in the Jetsons, oh, we have all that. You go to the airport, you can walk down the airport without really walking. The floor moves just like it did for George and Judy and all them. Yeah, the floor
Yeah.
moves in some airports.
And like I have noticed in different businesses like Target or even AMC, like when you're used to having people greet you, there's no one there anymore. It's just like it's just a kiosk there. And you're just like, oh, so I just press a button and then you get your ticket or whatever and you go. So
Yep, it's changed.
yeah.
Well, The Screening Room, Divine Influencer, please check it out. It is on PureFlix original, or I should say the Great American PureFlix. So if you have a chance to download that app, please do. Otherwise, I think in a little while it is going to be available for purchase. Okay. It's very rare for a director and writers to create a film that cannot be purchased by other people or have other streaming platforms. But I enjoyed watching it. This PureFlix original, and I hope you pick it up. I mean, it is an influencer changed her life to show that she could really be used for the greater good and for God's purpose. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, now let's move on to Before the Bema Seat. Today, you're going to hear about how Morgan Freeman, not the actor, a young lady, a marketer, podcaster, and mental health advocate, emphasized the importance of faith and prayer in her Christian beliefs. As a Black woman dealing with a mental illness, Morgan finds strength in her faith and takes active steps to take care of herself and support others. Through her experiences, she recognizes the hands of God in her life, and she refers to them as God winks that contributes to her spiritual growth and mental health journey. Growing up in the Black community, Morgan shares how mental health was often misunderstood and stigmatized, with limited awareness and access to resources. However, her own journey led her to seek professional help and find relief through diagnosis and treatment. Morgan is a strong advocate for having a supportive network. For hers, it includes her family and a Black doctor. And in the healing process, she does believe in being anchored by her faith, and she strives to inspire and uplift fellow Christians by encouraging them to trust in something beyond themselves and find healing through spirituality and professional care. In her own words, she states, "After about a year with faith and investment of loving people placed in my life, I wasn't ashamed of my mental illness. I found power in it. Now I share my experience with others on my podcast, Young Black Mrs., and it's my goal to continue the conversation of mental wellness." So I like the fact that she's using her platform to show vulnerability. We were talking about that earlier in the show when we were talking about how to reach young people. It does take a little bit of using vulnerability as a superpower to get people to see and understand, because there's a lot of noise out here between everything being streamed so fast and everybody's moving so fast and all the pressures of our society. Sometimes the only way you can cut through is them to find something authentic, because your generation, when it's not authentic, you guys tune out real quick.
Yeah, like I will say the quickest way to capture someone's attention, especially people from my generation, is to be authentic. Now, if you try to lie, like the lady that lied about, the whole, being kidnapped and all that stuff, then it's like you'll get attention, but it won't be the right attention that you wanted. So
Yeah, that's why I have a big problem with people that are trying to do like the crowdsourcing, like GoFundMes, and they say, we really need money for XYZ, and then you see them driving a Mercedes.
yeah, because it always takes that one person that will come across that story and be like, something's not right. Like whether it is a GoFundMe or some story in the news, it's like, something's not off. And then people will, and some people actually like to come across that type of content, like to do a research on it to see like, okay, what's not adding up. And then when those people who go from being like Nancy Jones, or excuse me, Nancy Drew, and they find all this stuff that's wrong, that's when everyone is like, oh, this person lied. They said they
Yeah,
needed
I like Nancy Drew. She used to look up
They needed,
everything.
yeah, they needed all this stuff, and then like the truth comes out, and it's like, oh, we apologize for telling a lie. We just thought, X, Y, and Z, and I'm just like, really?
That's why I like Kay Michelle. I came across her yesterday. She was on the Terrell show, and she was talking about her Christian album. I'm sorry, her country album. And you look at this beautiful Black woman, you're thinking, oh, she's just doing country for the money. But no, if you know her story, and she was Miss Florida AME University, and She got a scholarship for yodeling there. I mean, the chick loves country. She always has. And when she was going to get her record deal, and they kept saying, well, you're not, it's not really, we're not gonna be able to sell this or push this because, you know, this is not really country. And she's like, I am country. This is what I do. It took a strong white guy to say, no, we're gonna stand behind her because this is authentically K. Michelle. She is a country singer. I know the stuff she put out in the past. People trying to make her R&B-ish or whatever, but this is who she really is.
Yeah,
And
like there's.
so I was like amazed when I heard her voice, Risa, and she starts when she talks or sings her songs, she has a real country twang that I heard down in Florida growing up. So it's like, yeah, Tennessee is all up in her vernacular.
Right. Like I can even say like some of the songs that I have heard from her catalog, you can even hear like the country dialect. Like I can hear it. Like it's very strong. So the fact that, you know, I also watched the episode and I didn't realize that, you know, some of the songs that she had recorded that they were more country like, and they had to like take some things out to make it more urban because they're like, listen, unless you were Taylor Swift, like this song would like it would be, you know, all over the place. But because you are who you are and you look how you look, we have to make it more urban. Which
Isn't
I,
that a shame?
yeah, and I felt like that wasn't fair
Because
because
she's
I,
so gifted.
right, that's why I feel like the corporate morgue, as I call them, with love, sometimes they get it right, but most of the times they get it wrong. And
Yeah.
I feel like to basically pigeonhole someone because they are black and they're a female. I'm sorry, all black females that are singers do not they don't all sing R&B. For the longest time, Rihanna, especially at these award shows, the award shows like to categorize her as a R&B singer. And there were albums that Rihanna would put out that were straight up rock albums or pop albums. They were not R&B albums. And I know people online would get annoyed by that. Like, why do they keep putting her in these R&B categories? And they do it because she's black. But then I wish these award shows would realize when you do that, that's actually a microaggression. Like, stop saying that because this person is black, that they sing R&B when it's clear as day that the album is not, it's pop, it's rock, it's everything else but R&B. Yes, R&B has different iterations of it, but that artist clearly was not doing a R&B album.
Now, I think prayers need to go out for K. Michelle because she's been struggling in her health. She was one of the women that had the BBL, you know, she had those injections of silicone to make herself look more curvy and curvaceous. And she worked for a lot of years to get this stuff taken out of her body, but she still has a lot of it still there. So I think prayers need to go out for her because she actually used her platform to talk about it. Some people would not talk about having such health problems while you're also trying to be a very popular singer.
I definitely commend her for coming out and telling her story. And I do, because I do remember when that happened and she came out and she was brave enough to actually say what happened to her. Because people that actually worked with her were telling her not to say anything, which I think was wrong. I do commend her for coming out and saying that. And I also feel horrible that people were trying to shame her and be like, oh, well, you should already know. And da 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 da. Listen, unless you were in her shoes, there's a lot of things that anybody can say, like, oh, well, I wouldn't do it. But until you're in your shoes and you're in that situation, you don't know what you would do until you're in that situation. So the fact that she was brave enough to come out and say, hey, I did this, and you know, here are the ramifications that can happen from doing this, and she actually helped a lot of women to not even go down that route, I commend her for that.
And I really think for her, you know, to put out that kind of clarion call and say this is going on and people to still be doing it, that's the shameful thing. It's like there's people that are still getting on planes and still seeing those doctors and still getting all that stuff done to look a certain way. And God wants you to embrace who you really are. One thing they tell you in therapy is try to embrace your authentic self, like find out who you authentically are and embrace it, right? And remember I told you this week, I said, you know how you can embrace your authentic self? I said, stand in front of a full-length mirror, no clothes on, and look at yourself. First of all, none of y'all looking at yourselves. And record yourself speaking. Record yourself. You know, you guys have all these things, you're watching other people talk and live their life. Record your own voice talking. Or you living your life and go and watch it. And people always say, I don't want to hear my voice. I don't want to see myself on film and stuff like that. Or I don't want to see my own pictures unless I put a filter on it, you know? Look at yourself and see who you are and see the beauty in that. Because if you can't love it, how expect anybody else to love it? People, I remember when I was growing up, I saw this one lady, and my mom used to say, or somebody in the neighborhood said, how did she always, you know, have husbands? She had all these, she was a young girl, she had all these different suitors and everything, but she was a nice Christian lady. I think she taught Sunday school or something, but she always had men flying and flocking around her, right? Had that whole Sandra-esque kind of vibe to her, right? But she never carried herself like she was, you know, the ish. She carried herself like she just was confident in who she was. She knew who she was. So, and I guess the guys just gravitated to someone just liked her being who she was. And same thing with guys. Guys can just be who they are, and all of a sudden they have a whole bunch of fans, people trying to get to know them. So I think we need, even though you could be shy, and I know you're a shy person, you still take the time to like things that you do. Like, do you like that you cook? Do you like that you go to Bible study? Do you like that you're a follower of Christ? And if you really like those things, don't be ashamed of it.
I agree.
Yep. And I that's what I love about K. Michelle. She's singing country. No matter what nobody said, she's singing it. We need to embrace her where she is, because every interview she does, she's very happy to talk about country, because that's who she is.
Yeah, that's what she is at, you know, at her core. And for the longest time, she had to not hide it, but she had to like suppress it, which I thought was pretty annoying. Like, I absolutely hate when I hear artists say that, oh, well, I tried to do X, Y, and Z, and they, meaning the corporate morgue, told them no. And I'm like, and because like I get annoyed by it, because I'm thinking of the audience could have experienced a lot of great work if these people would stop interjecting in the creative process.
Yeah. But see, that's also people that are being gatekeepers. They're saying this is the playbook that has always been done. You know, so we're going to keep it going. We would still have payola and people paying to get their music on the radio if someone didn't shatter that and say, "Nope, we're not doing that anymore. We're doing this." And innovate. We wouldn't have Netflix that made Blockbuster die if they didn't decide, "Nope, you don't have to go and return things in the store. You can just return it in the mail." You know, these videos, and we're not going to give you anything else you want to watch until you return all three of these CDs in the mail. And they just stopped that service, I think, last week. They did the very last bit of CDs going out to somebody. They said they're done, they're all streaming now. But someone has to be innovative. And yes, it's going to shake things up. It's going to shake things up. But America wouldn't be as great as it is. And a lot of countries won't be as great as they are unless they decide to swing for the fences and do something a little different.
I definitely agree, and I do want to go back to a comment that you had made earlier about like the women that are still getting the BBL stuff after K. Michelle came out and you know said what she said. Like, I feel like the blame also goes on the doctors more so, because even though yes, she came out and she said the dangers of it, some people still have that whole Superman complex, like, oh, it's not going to be me. But the doctors, like, listen, I've never went to medical school. I have some friends that went to medical school. You guys took an oath to do right by patients. So if you know that what you're about to do is like not good, you shouldn't be doing it. So that is like where the
Yeah, but
majority
some
of
people
the
don't have conscience like that. Some people are driven by money. So it's like, and you have to know, like I told you when you were younger, you have to know why you do what you do, because you can get out here in this world and everyone knows their own intentions. It might not even align with yours. That's why it's so important to be prayerful with every decision you make, because if you don't know everything, there's one deity that knows everything that's going on. You get on your knees and pray to him about it, and don't rush so quickly to make decisions, but be prayerful in your decisions. He'll guide you where you need to be. He always will, but you got to put him in the mix. You can't make it by yourself and then go, oops, God, you know what? I'm in this situation now. Can you help me? He's like, now you want my help. Come on now. You got to start putting me in at the beginning when you first thought about doing this and getting on the airplane to get the BBL. You know? So I really appreciate that this young lady took the time, Morgan Freeman took the time to say the importance of mental health and having a village and having people around you, and also mental health and faith go together. Pastor Quick says it all the time, right? So if you would like to share a story about your Christian experience, one that inspires new and rededicated Christians, please visit www.withthequickness.com and select the Bema Seat tab. There you can fill out the interview form so we can schedule your virtual interview. You can also email bemaseat@withquickness.com to begin the guest process. So, Risa, another podcast. Now, we went a little long today, but we had a lot of stuff to talk about, right?
Yes, we had a lot to talk about.
Yeah, but that's okay. We're getting back in the rhythm of things. So let's go ahead and sign off so, you know, you can enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and I can too. And we can make sure that everyone else goes on and have a wonderful rest of the week. We are so grateful that you tuned in today. Our prayer for you is that God reveals to you that He is real and able to meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Have a great week, everybody.
Have a great week, everyone.
I just can't stop thinking about you. I just can't stop thinking about you. I just can't stop thinking.